love that song. And you folks were singing tonight like you loved it too. I thought the roof was going to lift. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to a very familiar passage, but a very unfamiliar text. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We're going to be looking at some verses tonight that many of you have heard many, many times, and yet we'll see them in a context, at least if you're like me, we'll see them in a context that perhaps we've never seen before. This past Friday, I had the privilege of attending my oldest daughter's graduation ceremony. Cairo American College had their ceremony out at the Giza Pyramids, and it's a phenomenal backdrop as the graduates are there. And behind them, this ancient Sphinx and the pyramids. If you've never been there for one of those, it's really even if you don't have a child graduating, it's still a very moving experience. And one of the themes that came through a lot of the speeches this year was the unity of the student body in the midst of great diversity. They have people from many, many nations and many different backgrounds. And I couldn't help but think about our church when I was there. And I must admit, that's one thing I absolutely love about our congregation. Is although we come from so many different places and so many different denominational backgrounds as well, we are still able to enjoy the unity that Christ brings to us. Amen? Well, it's kind of funny watching people come in new to this fellowship. You know, some of you have been here for many years, we heard earlier, and some of you have been here relatively recently. All of us come from different backgrounds. We all have our own way of doing church. And it's kind of comical when you watch somebody come into an interdenominational setting like this. And the first couple of weeks, I can almost see the wheels turning in some people's minds. And they're going, this isn't church like I know it. Do you remember being there? Remember thinking that? And you think, oh my, I'm not used to this like this. What is going on? And we have sometimes a difficult time processing the difference of what's going on here, simply because we are no one denomination. We kind of swing and try and include so many different backgrounds. Well, occasionally it gets quite comical. Sometimes I have seen people who come from a more formal background, for example, sitting right next to somebody who's a little more loose in their style. I remember one time there was a person, they'd only been here a couple of weeks, and they were quite formal, sitting prim and proper, and the person beside them in the middle of the service shouted, "Amen!" And this poor person just about fell off the chair. They just had never quite encountered something like that. And it was kind of comical. Another thing, I don't know if any of you have ever seen it, was is the way the Africans do their, I don't know what you call it, it's a warble? Yes, beautiful. Now, the first time I encountered that was in Zaire. My wife and I were there about 8 years ago speaking at a missions conference. And we went out to one of the villages to conduct a service. And in the middle of the service, a couple of the ladies just started to do this really loud. I'd never heard it in my life. And I thought they were fainting. I thought I didn't know what was going on. And the missionary saw the look on my face and came over and told me that it was the way they were praising the Lord. Now my ears are tuned to it, and I love it. The other night at the New Life Bible Institute, we had the graduation ceremony. And they were just so pumped and worshiping the Lord, and the ladies were on and on just going on with this warble. But again, you probably won't get many North Americans doing this. But it's a beautiful way that some people express their love for the Lord. Anyway, this thing about amen, amen. My dad is nicknamed Preacher, or not his non-saved buddies called him Preacher Con when he was first saved. But once he got into the church, they nicknamed him Amen Con. Because he would love to just, you know, amen, when the preacher preached something he liked, he loved to shout amen. I don't know where he got it from, but anyway, that was my dad. Anyway, amen is a very common term. We say it, almost all of us say it at the end of a prayer. And sometimes we'll interject it into our sentences or somebody will in a service. But most of us don't shout it out, even though those who do can have a direct effect on the pastor. Somebody once said that saying amen to a pastor is like saying sick'em to a dog. It just makes you want to keep going. You know your congregation is with you. Anyway, this word amen basically means so be it. It's a term of agreement. It's like somebody says, makes a statement, and you say, all right, I agree with that. Yes, I'm with you. Count me in. I agree. Go for it. count on me. All of those together kind of embody the essence of what it means when we say that four-letter word, amen. Now, in the Old Testament, if you go right back to the beginning when God was giving the commands and principles to the Israelites, after he gave them, the people were instructed to say amen, which was their way of buying in to what God had said. It was their way of expressing their agreement, their affirmation, and their acceptance of the contract. Now, the amen at the end of a prayer is also an affirmation of all that has been prayed. We make all these statements of praise to God. We give these requests to God and these petitions. And then at the end, we say, all of that, I agree with it. Amen. That's basically what it means. Now, you may be surprised to know that one of the names ascribed to Jesus in the Bible is the Amen. That's right, he's actually called the Amen. Now, it only appears once in the entire Scripture, and yet the context reveals the richness of this name. So go with me to Revelation 3, and we're going to read verses 14 through 22. Now, as I said earlier, I've read this passage many, many, many times. I've preached on portions of it before. Behold, I stand at the door. Who hasn't heard verses on that? There's passages in there about dealing with money and how we should avoid it. There's passages dealing in there with our spiritual temperature. And we probably heard, most of us have heard messages dealing with this. But never prior to this week studying this passage had I ever put it in context with the first verse. Look at that tonight and see how the rest flows out of it. Verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I have overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord Jesus, we ask tonight that as we examine this portion of your holy word, this portion that reveals to us something of the essence of who you are, we ask, Lord, that you would in fact open our spiritual ears and help us hear what you're saying to the church, what you're saying to us tonight. Speak loud, Lord. Your children are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice first in this passage that Jesus is the Amen of God's Word. Look again at verse 14. It says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The words that Jesus, the Amen, speaks, dear friends, are totally trustworthy, are absolutely accurate, because he is the faithful and the true witness. He is the Amen, the so be it, the yes, the go for it. He's the Amen to every single thing that God has ever declared. Jesus is in flesh what God is in spirit. He is the living Word of God. And that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Do you hear it? He's saying no matter how many promises there are, and God has made a lot of them, go back through the scripture and dig them out. There are piles of them. It says no matter how many are given, every time you read a promise of God, Jesus is there saying, yes! You hear that? You read a promise of God and Jesus, the Amen, is saying, go for it! He's saying, I agree. He's saying, count me in. He's saying, I'm part. And because Jesus is the Amen, saying yes to all of God's promises, we therefore can add our Amen. We can add our, I agree. I want to participate. I want to plug in with that. I want that promise to be mine. Do you see the connection? Jesus is the Amen to all of God's promises. Because Christ is the Amen, we can say Amen. Because Jesus is the so be it of God, we can live out the so be it of His promises. Dear friends, this is when the Christian life gets exciting. This is when it moves from a mere deadpan religion or an ideology to a dynamic life. Notice verse 15, though, what happens when we miss this truth. He says there, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Have you ever wondered what it is that causes our love for Jesus Christ and our love for God to dissipate? You know, when we first come to Christ, when you first discover the truth that God loves you and that your sins were completely forgiven by Jesus Christ, that He died in your stead, rose again to free you from all of sin's power and hell's dominion, when you discovered that and you discovered Christ was your Savior and your sins were gone and your life was clean and you were on your way to heaven, there was a love probably pulsating in your heart. You loved the Lord. It was hot. It was fresh. It was real. Why is it that it goes from there, it probably climbs and then it seems to plateau and then it starts to come down and cool off and get lukewarm and then we'll have a surge and down. And how is it that our love for God can actually grow cold and cool off? Why? What happens to it? Is it because we've stopped going to church? Well, maybe sometimes, but I know a lot of people who attend church regularly who are lukewarm and cold. Is it because we've stopped reading our Bible? I know a lot of people who read their Bible regularly and are still lukewarm or cold. Is it because we stopped praying? No. I know people who continue to pray regularly and still are kind of lukewarm or cold. What is it? What is it that allows us to go from hot to lukewarm to cold? Can I suggest to you that the reason we drop our spiritual temperature is because we have stopped experiencing Jesus as the one who makes real to our lives the promises of God. We have stopped experiencing Him as the Amen to all of God's promises. You see, it's kind of hard to get lukewarm or cold when you are experiencing God's truth, when you're experiencing these things being fulfilled in your life. Now tell me, when you go out on a limb and ask God for something that is beyond your human capacity to do or even comprehend, and in prayer you ask Him that and He does it, do you go home that day and say, just another day? When God prompts your heart to go over to that sick person and lay your hand on them and pray for them and ask God to bring healing to their body, and all of a sudden they are healed, do you walk away and say, pretty average? When the Lord prompts your heart to give something away and somebody comes back and says, I've been praying that God would supply my need and you are a direct answer to prayer, you can't go home and say, ho-hum. When you start to read the Scriptures and take the promises and hear Jesus say Amen, yes, and add your Amen and watch God work in your life and bring about His purposes, dear friends, you can work at being cold and you won't make it. Because when we are experiencing Jesus as the Amen to all of God's promises, there will naturally be temperature. It will be on the rise. It will be growing. People have said to me, Dave, you're pulling our leg. How long have you been a Christian now? And I'll tell them, and they say, and you still are excited about Jesus? Still, I feel like I'm in kindergarten. There is so much more to know of Him. The deeper I go into Him, the more I discover. I can't help but be pumped, excited, thrilled when I get to know who He is. He's not just a blip on the map of God's plan. He is the Amen to all of God's promises. That's who He is. To get to know Him is life. To hear His yes creates faith. To add my Amen, that's living. That's who He is. Where is your spiritual temperature at tonight? Is it hot? Is it lukewarm? Is it in the deep freeze? Are you just as sick of lukewarmness as God is? I have never met in my life a person who is lukewarm spiritually and likes being there. It's a horrible place to live. And that's why God said, almost for your sake, I wish you'd either get cold or hot. Don't stay in the middle. It's a horrible place. Because your heart still wants something else, and yet it's playing in the world, and it's torn and tossed, and you feel like a yo-yo up and down. It's a horrible place to live. Either throw the whole thing away and go after the devil. Preacher saying that? God said it. Either get in the deep freeze, or get red hot for Jesus Christ. But don't stay in the middle. How many of you want to be red hot for Christ? Okay, we've got a few of you. How many of you want to be red hot for Jesus Christ? Well, if you want to be that, the Bible says we need to repent. Repent is it's a picture word. It means I was going this way and I make a U-turn and go this way. That's what repent means. Basically, the Bible says you've been thinking the wrong thing about Jesus. Repent. Turn around and look again at who He is. When you see Him for who He is and live that way, you will once again start to experience that heat in your spiritual life as you encounter Him. He is the Amen to all of God's Word, to every single promise, to every single truth, to every single command, to every single principle. Dear friends, when you open the Bible and when you read a passage, don't just read it and file it under Bible knowledge. When you read a passage and there's a promise of God there, say, Lord, is that for me? And open your spiritual ears and hear Jesus from heaven shouting, no. He shouts, yes! And when He shouts yes to every promise of God's Word, what do you add? We add the Amen. So be it. I agree. I hear you, Lord. I'm plugging in. I'm buying into that one. I'll put it into practice. I'll memorize it. I'll put it to action. And I'll do it today. Dear friends, when you start doing that, you're in for some pretty dynamic living. You're in for excitement with a capital E. You're in for something very special. Just not picking it up. I'm wandering too much. Sorry. When you grab God's Word, open your spiritual ears and hear the Lord affirming what God has said. Jesus is the living Word. That's who He is. Jesus is also the Amen of all of God's world. Go back to verse 14. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness. What's the next phrase? The ruler of all God's creation. You know, astronomers are discovering exploding stars that are hundreds of times the size of our sun, while at the same time microbiologists are exploring the uncharted universe within a cell. And at both ends of this spectrum, at both ends of this amazing creation, and all the way through it, you can discover Jesus if you just open your eyes. He's there. And that's because he is the amen to all of God's creation. Listen to how Paul described it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. By him, by Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Dear friends, you were created by him. Do you know that? You're not an accident. The world today tries to tell you you're just some evolutionary hunk of material floating around. You're not. You were a purposeful creation of a loving God, specifically designed by him. You have a plan. You're here for a purpose. Doesn't that make your heart sing? You're not an accident. God created you. At the graduation ceremony on Friday, one of the graduating seniors was giving a speech. It was a very good speech, but over and over again, she kept referring to the mystery of life. Didn't know why she was here, what was going on. And she came back to that a couple times, and I knew I was coming from that ceremony directly to church to preach this message. And I felt like saying, oh, I wanted to stand up and say, come to church and hear. Come and hear that you were created by God, and you were created for God. What is the reason we are here? The very purpose for our existence is for the praise of his glory. And when we discover that, dear friends, when we understand why we were created, why we were placed on this earth, when we comprehend it and then begin to live in light of that, that's when we start to live. That's when we start to experience the full dimension of life the way God designed it. That's when we have that emotional and psychological foundation for our life that makes us bedrock secure. We are no longer floating along with the winds of change in this world, wondering who we are, wondering how we fit in, wondering where we're going. God has said, I am your beginning, I am your sustaining grace, and I am your end. I am your purpose. Live in me. Live in me. And people who discover that know how to live. And Jesus is the amen of all of his creation. But you see, when we forget that, or when we've never learned it, something happens. We go off track. Look at verse 17 and 18 and see what happens. You see, whenever we remove our focus and worship from the Creator of all, we start to focus and worship that which is created. And we trust our money and our stuff and anything else in life, and we forget God. Look at verse 17. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich. And white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness. And salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. You ever wondered why no matter how much money we get and no matter how much stuff we collect, there's still that empty hollow in our heart that can't be filled? Rockefeller, one of the richest men in the previous generation, a billionaire in his time, was once asked, how much does it take to satisfy a man? And he said, a little bit more. That stuff doesn't satisfy. Because we were never meant to live for that stuff. Dear friends, you and I were created for so much more than simply to collect material stuff and think that we've got it made. God, the Creator of all, has an eternal purpose for your life and for mine. And once understood, that will make money and clothes and earthly securities look like mere junk. We still use them, we still need them, but we no longer focus our attention on them. As the amen of all of God's creation, Jesus is fully able to do whatever he wants with any part of his creation in order to bring about his eternal purpose. Now hear me, friends, this truth flies in the face of the prevailing philosophy of our day, which is naturalism. Naturalism says that all that this world is, all that the universe has, is all there is. There's nothing before it. There is nothing spiritual containing it. It's natural. It can be explained in completely natural terms, and it's only natural laws that govern it, and there's only natural systems that make it happen. Dear friends, that prevailing philosophy through sciences, through math, through other vehicles has infiltrated the Christian mind and twisted us from understanding God's intervention in His universe. You need to understand tonight that Jesus is the Amen, not just of God's Word, but also of God's world. And when God makes statements about His world, Jesus has all the ability, capacity, desire, and necessary power to bring it about. He can intervene into this world. He can change things that of substance. He can alter material. And so it's not just a natural world, it is also a supernatural world. Praise the Lord! Now you can live it a complete... Unfortunately, one of the greatest tragedies is people who say they believe in a supernatural God live out a completely naturalistic life. God wants you to move up to a higher plane. He wants you to experience Him in your world. God can still part Red Seas. He can still part rivers. He can still supply and multiply food. He can demand obedience from wind and waves. He can heal bodies. He can put money in the mouths of fishes. Do you believe that? A couple of you are unsure. You read that story in the New Testament, you know, Peter needing the taxes. Jesus says, go catch a fish. He catches fish, opens his mouth, there's the coins for him. And you say, oh, come on, man, if ever that sounded stupid, that's got to be one of those childish stories put in there to some fairy tale God. It's one of the stories that make people debunk the New Testament and say, ha, he doesn't do that kind of thing. How many of you think Jesus does that kind of thing? Some of you are still unsure. This past week, I had one of our refugees come into my office and tell me in so many words that he believes in a Jesus who can put fish or mouth or coins in the mouth of a fish. He didn't say that, but that's the kind of Jesus he was serving, because he was in desperate financial need and he was crying out to God, his creator, his sustainer, his supplier, and serving him faithfully, living for him. And he said he was walking down Road 9 and he said in the midst of masses of people coming and going, he looked down and there was a wad of money on the road. And he thought somebody must have dropped it. And so he stopped and stood back and waited to see who would pick it up. And people just kept walking by. Children, teenagers, men, women, people in a hurry, people going slowly, people sitting on the side of the road. Nobody was doing anything about it. And so he looked again, waited. Nobody touched it. They kept walking past this wad of money. And so finally he went over and he picked it up and nobody seemed to notice. And so he picked it up, and then he thought maybe somebody dropped it. He turned around to see if anybody would come for it. Nobody did. And so then he went to a couple of the shopkeepers around and asked, did any of you lose money? And everybody said, yes, I did. He said, so how much was it? And none of them knew the amount, and so he knew they were just trying to get it from him. Make a long story short, after checking many people to see whose it was, nobody was claiming it. He counted it 170 pounds. Sitting on the road! In the middle of Road 9, hundreds of people going back and forth. You tell me God has trouble putting fish in, or coins in a fish mouth? It's a more of a miracle nobody saw that money on Road 9. Yeah, you know that, don't you? I've seen him fight over a 20 piastre coin. He is the Amen of all God's creation. And if he can multiply bread and fish to feed 5,000, do you think that he might be able to throw 170 pounds down on Road 9? Now, I'm not saying that he's going to have 170 pounds on the street for all of us tonight. Don't get me wrong. Because that's the only time I've ever heard him do that. Just like there's only one story where he put fish, or I keep getting that wrong, where he put coins in the mouth of a fish. But dear friends, what you need to know is that's the Jesus we're talking about. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not ceased being the Amen of all God's creation. It is His creation to manage, and He manages it for His purposes. And when we know Him and line up with His purposes, guess who we're walking with? The Amen of all God's world. Amen. Amen. So be it. Yes, go for it. Right. You see, when we add our amen to Jesus' yes to all of God's creation, when that truth sinks into our heads, into our hearts, it's amazing what happens to our faith. and to our corresponding lifestyle. And because he is the amen of all God's word and all God's world, he is also the amen to all of God's wonders. Look at verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Now, every human being I know longs to experience wonder. We love that sense of wonder. We travel all over the world to see the wonders of the world. We want life to be wonderful. And so we work hard to obtain the wonders of technology. We search hard to find a wonderful person who will love us for who we are and give us the freedom of loving them for who they are. If you've ever had a child, you know the wonder of seeing a baby come from the womb and watch it develop. These are experiences of absolute wonder. They're beautiful. But no matter how much wonder we have observed or experienced, nothing matches the wonder of what we read about in this verse. It just can't compare. Think of it. The one who created the entire universe, which astronomers still cannot begin to probe the ends of. The one who created the entire universe, dear friends, created you and me to know his love, to experience him. And he, in this verse, is offering to come not next to you on the pew, not even to walk with you home. He is offering to come into your very being and sit down with you and dine. He is offering to fellowship with you at the deepest level possible. This isn't your neighbor. This isn't your spouse, your girlfriend or boyfriend, your mom or dad or your child. This is the eternal God of heaven who wants to come inside you and me and fellowship with us. Wonder of wonders. Boggle the mind. Explode the soul. Jesus is the amen to all of God's wonder. And he brings it into our life when he comes in. Your heart longs to know God this way. Because that's how he made you. That's how he fashioned you. And that's why Jesus said, I'm knocking at the door. He doesn't just barge in and say, I'm here taking over. He knocks. If any man hear my voice, if any man or woman or young person is hungry enough to want life beyond the lukewarm, life beyond the cold, life beyond the money, life beyond the stuff that never satisfies, if anybody wants life to sup with the Creator of all and longs for it, just open the door. Invite me in. And I will come in and I will fellowship with you and you with me. This is wonder. And if you think that's good, that's not all. Look at verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. I must admit, my mind goes fuzzy on this. The Creator of all comes to sit with us so we can sit with him. He comes to live in us so we can live in him. He comes to abide with us so we can forever abide with him. I cannot fully comprehend that in my mind. But everything in my spirit says, Amen. everything inside here says, yes, that's what I long for. Everything in my entire being craves and hungers that kind of fellowship with God. And when you and I are quiet enough to hear His voice, that's exactly what's happening in your heart too. And that's why He ends it with, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." Because there is nothing more important than you will ever hear. Amen. Lord Jesus, You are the Amen to all of God's Word, to all of God's world, to all of God's wonders. And tonight our spirits hunger and thirst for You. Tonight we want to swing those heart doors wide open and say, "Come, Jesus. Come in. Throw out whatever is there that has been keeping us from You, whatever has been turning us in other directions. We are willing to turn around, to repent, to see You for who You are, to follow hard after You. We want to experience Your promises. We want to know You as You work in the midst of Your creation. And we want to share the wonder of Your living inside of us." You know those, Lord, tonight who are praying that prayer from the depths of their being. And I ask right now that just as You made the promise here, that You would now honor it. Come and fill. Come and reside. And as You move into our hearts, into our lives, into our spirits, Lord, as You bring Your Holy Spirit and fill us to the full with Yourself, Lord, out of the innermost being, may we sense that river beginning to flow and gush forth and bring the life that You created us for. Amen. Of God, come and fill us. And all God's people said, Amen. Praise You, Lord.